Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Indeed, that's what we specialize in, Bible-based content. Pastor Chitura, do we have you back on the line?
Yes, I'm back.
Marvelous. Marvelous. Thank you so much, Pastor. Mfundisi, we were asking this idea of soul sleep. What are we saying here?
All right. When we talk about soul sleep, like you alluded to in your preamble, we are talking about the unconsciousness that is there when somebody dies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When somebody dies, they do not know anything. It's like somebody who is sleeping, who doesn't know what's happening outside, whatever is happening.
Okay.
They are unconscious. They don't know anything. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And this is found in the Bible, Mfundis. I mean, surely the majority of Christians are saying when a person dies, they are in heaven. When a person dies, some of those troubled souls are roaming around the grave site. And some of this is obviously accompanied by tangible proof. When people have walked by the graveside, they have seen things and they have come to tell tales. Where is this one now being found, Mfundis? And what can we use to substantiate this kind of an understanding?
All right. Thank you very much for that question. Maybe before we get into that, we might want to know what happened when we were created. How were we created so that we understand what happens when somebody dies?
Okay.
Okay. Yes. So maybe you can just go to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Genesis 2, verse 7, and it reads.
Okay.
Pardon?
Yes, Mfundisi.
All right, so Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, and it reads, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul."
Okay.
Yeah. So we are made to understand here that God, all right, created man, all right, using the dust of the ground, then he breathed introduced to the breath of life, and then man became a living soul. I think that's where the problem is, because people think that a human being is made up of maybe this body, mm-hmm. then the breath of life, then there is a soul that is in that person, that when he she dies, that soul comes out and goes somewhere, whether to heaven or to purgatory or what, but mm-hmm. that's not the case here. All right,
okay.
We do not have a soul. We are the souls. We are the living souls or the living being. So a soul is not something that is inherent in somebody.
Hmm.
It's sort of like another person in a person. No, a living soul is the combination of this body and the breath of life. Okay, so
okay.
Yes. Now, if we to answer the question that you asked, to say when somebody dies, then some people think that, you know, their soul or something goes around roaming here and there, persecuting those who are still living, all sorts of things. I think a direct answer will be from Ecclesiastes chapter 3.
Mm-hmm.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3, yes, there's maybe 20. Will help us to answer that. All right, 3 verse 20.
Okay.
Right, and yes, and it's so that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts, even one thing befalleth them. As one dieth, so dieth the other.
Hmm.
Ye, they have all one breath, that is, animals and people have one breath.
Okay.
Okay, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. Then verse 20, mark this one out. All go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all turn to dust again.
Mm.
All right. Mm. So, yes. Yeah, the text is so clear that, both men and beasts or animals have the same breath, and all go to the same place. If we are saying all the broilers that people are eating, you know, all the animals that are dying, if we are saying their spirits or their souls are in heaven, so like what other people think, then then people go to heaven when they die or to purgatory. But if all the animals that are dying do not go to heaven, do not go to purgatory, do not know anything, then also men or human beings don't know anything when they die. They are in a state of unconsciousness in death.
Okay. But Mfundisi, I was going to ask another question, but let's just touch on this one here. How do we know that there are no broilers in heaven, Mfundisi? How do we know that they are not there? Their animals are not going to heaven?
Pardon me?
How do we know that the animals are not going to heaven? Because it's not written anywhere that they are not going to heaven.
Okay. Thank you for that question. I think the text here also answers that. All right.
Okay.
Verse 20, I'll repeat. All go unto one place. Okay? Then it goes on to say, all are of the dust and all turn to dust again. So we know where people go or animals go when they die. They go into the ground. They are buried underneath. I think maybe Job can also explain further.
Okay.
We can go to Job chapter 7, verse 9. Okay? 9 and 10. Okay? Job chapter 7, verse 9 and 10, and it says, or it reads, as the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him anymore. Okay? So I think it's very explicit that when somebody dies, when animals die, they go to the ground. We are buried. We go to the grave. And we do not come up again. Okay, at least for now, when, you know, before Jesus comes again, no one is in heaven, no one is in purgatory, no one is burning eternally. No, people are dead. They are not in heaven. They are not in a state of limbo or somewhere where they are waiting to be ushered into heaven or, you know, where they are in purgatory. You pray for them, then they stray from purgatory to paradise. No, they are dead. They are in their graves. They are sleeping. They know not anything. They do not even return to their houses. So the answer is there as well.
So Pastor, you're saying here that, and I love how you started off, but maybe to help us understand then, you know, you spoke of how we are a soul. Because the Bible in many places doesn't speak of us being the soul, but rather my soul does this. I mean, many passages in the scripture will talk about my soul will do this, your soul will be done this, you know, and it speaks about it as an entity one possesses. And you know, you just mentioned about going to the dust. Is that not the body that goes to the dust? I mean, there is a scripture after all, the body will return to the dust, dust to dust. It's made out of dust. How are we then to understand passages such as Ecclesiastes 12 and 7? You know, the spirit goes back to God who gave it. Is that not then the soul going back to heaven?
Thank you very much for that one. I was going to come to that. As I come to that verse, allow me maybe also to read Ecclesiastes chapter 7.
Okay.
I think it will help us. Then we'll go straight to the question that we've just posed. Yeah, okay. All right. Let me go there. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Sorry, pardon me, not 7.
Okay.
Chapter 9, yes. Okay. Verse maybe 4. All right, from verse 4 to 6. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. Okay? Yes. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Okay, that was verse 6. You see, so it's also stating the issue of unconsciousness at death. All the love, all the hatred, all the envy is perished, and they do not have any portion. That's why even, let's say, we're five in our family, then one dies, we no longer accommodating, we are no longer accommodating that fifth person as we, you know, as we share our food. We are now you know, it's only four plates left, not five. Okay, so they no longer have any portion, you know, among the living. Okay, I just thought of emphasizing that before I answer Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, which says, you know, dust goes back to the dust then the spirit goes back to God where it is.
Mm.
I think that verse, yes, I think that verse can be answered by Job chapter 7, verse 9.
Chapter 12, verse 10.
Job 12, verse 10. Okay. Job chapter 12, verse 10. And we can also cross-reference it with Daniel chapter 5, verse 23. Okay, so I'm reading Job 12, verse 10 right now, okay?
All right.
Yes, and it reads, in whose hand, okay, or maybe let me start with verse 9 for us to understand. Who knoweth not in all this that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? Then verse 10, in whose hand, that is the Lord's hand,
mm-hmm.
is the soul, mark that one, is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind.
Okay.
Yes. Now, Job, here we see the writer is stating that in God's hand is the soul of every living thing
mm-hmm.
and also the breath of all mankind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, our breath, okay, of all mankind, all that breath is in God's hand, and in His hand is the soul of every living thing. And I would want to pose a question to our listeners, okay, is there anyone who is in heaven right now, that is, of those who are here on planet Earth?
Mm.
No, definitely no. But right now, our souls or our beings, even our spirits, are in God's hand, all right? Now, if you read Daniel chapter 5, verse 23, all right, it also says the same thing when Daniel was telling King Belshazzar, you know, when he had taken the utensils from the Jerusalem temple and used those drink his wine, his, you know, intoxicating wine, then there was a hand which wrought many tekel ufasin, which means, you know, your kingdom has been divided because he had defiled or profaned God's holy utensils.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when Daniel was telling him what that Talmud written on the wall, okay, he said, you know, you were worshiping or you were glorifying all these gods of metals, of stones, of wood, but God himself, in whose hand is your breath,
mm-hmm.
okay? Who holds your breath? You did not honor him as God. So our breath, okay, is in God's hand right now as we speak, okay? But we're not in heaven.
Okay.
What does this mean? We go back to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. We were created by the dust of the ground, and God breathe into our nostrils or into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. So that breath of life is in God's hand. It's not like we have individual breaths of life. To say, passage 2 has his own, you also have your own, Zanele has hair as well. No, it's only one breath for all of the living things, animals included. So, you know, it's like current. You know, current, yes, you know,
electricity,
let's say it gets into our households, that current, electricity, that is, okay. When it gets to our TVs, okay, we begin to see all that we can see, channel, you name it. If it gets maybe into a PA system, all right, you know, we are loud and clear. If it gets into a refrigerator, you know, you just... honey softly and cooling things there. If it gets, you know, it's the same current. Okay, so take for instance, we have bulbs, all right? Then one bulb, one filament just blows off. That same current is still there in the line and it's being made use of by all the appliances that are still functioning.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody dies, it's like a bulb which is just blown off.
Everything is still there.
Now, yes. That same breath of life is still being used by all those that are still living. So we say this breath of life has gone back to the owner. Just like when you say there's a blackout, okay? It's not like, you know, that current goes back, and you can go back to, say, to Eskom, or in, for instance, here in Zimbabwe, we call it ZESA, you know, those electricity authorities. You can go back to Kariba, where they generated, or to Wange, you know, and say, no, I just want the exact current that was in my bulb, which was in the dining room.
Okay,
you can do that.
Mm.
Yes. So when we say the breath has gone back to, the spirit has gone back to God who gave it, it's not like it went to heaven. No.
Mm.
That spirit has already been in his hand, you know, allowing us to live. Okay. So
if
when
I may
die,
jump in there, Mfundisi. So is this then what I think it was in Genesis, you read a scripture from Genesis chapter 2.
Yes.
That you had two components that result in a living soul. And those two components are the dust of the ground, the body that God has made, together with his breath of life. This breath of life is that thing then that goes back to him, that he takes back. It's the spark of life, like you were saying, the current, this electricity. But the soul, it ceases to exist. It doesn't go anywhere. It just ceases to exist, if I'm hearing you well.
Correct. That's correct. You know, when you die, you and I are the souls. So the soul has died. The person, the human being, has died. You know, so it's nowhere to be found. Nothing remains existing, knowing anything. That same breath of life is just being used by all those that are living, the animals and the people that are living, not in heaven.
Maybe let's wrap up with this one then. If it's so clear, I mean, you've explained, and the beauty is you're not repeating one verse and saying this verse, as though you're building a principle, a doctrine, a belief on one verse.
Yes.
You've read so many verses in the scriptures. Then why are people doubting this belief? Why is that the majority of Christianity doesn't find itself understanding it the way scripture is putting it?
All right. They are failing to believe this because, you know, there's been a false teaching, a false doctrine that has been infused by the devil since time immemorial.
Mm.
Okay, that is in Genesis chapter 3, verse 4, when the snake or the serpent said to Eve, "You shall not surely die." Because God has said, if you eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die. Then the devil said, "You shall not surely die." So that doctrine has been, you know, yes, assimilated in many, many people of different divide to say that when somebody dies, they are not, you know, they are not dead, surely. The devil was not refuting that people die, but you are saying, yes, you die, but not surely, you not, you know, die permanently, you know, to say you have died, you are unconscious. So from that day onward, yes, infuse that doctrine, number one. Number two, to substantiate that doctrine, you mentioned earlier on to say, well, if people, you know, are dead, then where do we find all these issues of spooks, ghosts, you know, all these things? So, now, to answer that, you know, there are many verses that I can just tell you. I might not read them, you know, like Hebrews chapter 1, you know, verse 7 and verse 14. It tells us that God's angels can come in form of fire or wind, you know?
Okay.
Yes, even you go to Genesis chapter 19, verse 1 to 5, you see that angels there went to Sodom and Gomorrah in the form of human beings. So angels have the power to come in form of human beings, okay? You go to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22, you read that chapter, even from verse 37 downward, you see that an angel of the Lord made a donkey to speak, okay? And also, the donkey was seeing the angel, but Balaam was on top of the donkey, wasn't seeing anything. All right, you know. So angels have the power to make even animals or anything to speak, to do strange things. All right. Yes. Then you can go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, where an angel of the Lord, Gabriel, came and spoke to. He spoke to. How come this name is eluding me? Maria's, Mary's husband,
Joseph.
The father of Joseph.
Yes.
Come on, huh? Yes, Joseph. All right. To Joseph in a dream and told him not to fear, but to take Mary as his wife, because, mm-hmm. you know, the pregnancy that she had was from the Holy Spirit, you know. Yes. So an angel can speak to you in a dream. All right. And maybe you can go to Matthew chapter 28. You see there an angel, verse 1 and 2. An angel came to, you know, when Jesus was resurrected, the angel came, you know, and mm-hmm. when the soldiers saw the angel coming, you know, they saw lightning, all right? His clothes were white, as white as snow, and lightning and thundering. Okay, so an angel can come in form of thunder. You know, there are many verses that we can, you know, quote. So angels have this power.
Yeah.
Yes. So now, Satan, okay, who also is an angel, was sent from heaven for rebelling there. He came with also the angels mm-hmm. that, you know, he had, you know, also, he talked to them nicely, and he painted God black and said he deceived these angels and came down with them. So they also have this power, but they use this power or these miracles to deceive us, to think that the dead know something. So they go to the grave site, you know, you see a ball of fire, you can see maybe somebody was killed. He was hit by a car at this bridge, and he's coming back to torment us. And when drivers try to evade Peter, was hit by a car there, a lot of accidents are ensuing. But it's not Peter who's coming back, it's this angel who is coming in the form of a human being, or, you know, an angel who is imitating what your mother was like, or the image that your mother had. Not that your mother is coming back to tell you, no, don't travel with this convoy, this bus, you know, with this taxi, because there will be an accident. And surely, if God doesn't prevent that, yes, there will be an accident. And you say, my mother told me that I shouldn't use this bus, you know, and there was an accident. No, it's the devil, because he knows he's going to do that. It's not, you know, it's not presented by the Lord. So it's not your mother who's talking to you. Even the voice you can think, that was my mother's voice. It's not your mother. This is the devil. All these shenanigans are from the devil. So, yeah, the dead know nothing.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. A very clear conversation right there. And I pray that our listeners have heard and will start implementing what the scripture has said. Pastor, would you please pray for us? Because this is a very sensitive topic, right? Especially if you are going to be telling people that their parents and their grandparents and their loved ones are not in heaven. Whew. And you're telling them they're just rotting in a grave somewhere. That sounds like it's not a nice thing to say. But we need to do what the Lord is asking us to do, and to believe what he says we must believe, and not believe the lie like you're saying. This is the oldest lie, right? You will not surely die, whereas God says you will die. And here they are. Someone is saying, no, you continue living after you die. It just defeats the whole point. Please pray for us, Pastor, that we can, number one, accept the truth, but more than that, do what the Lord is asking us to do.
Thank you very much. So as I pray, maybe to end this, we can say the Lord is coming again. So that's our hope, that when he comes, he will raise the dead, and we'll be taken to heaven. So that's our blessed hope. So shall we pray?
Mm-hmm.
Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this wonderful morning that you have granted to us. Thank you for the lesson that we have had. Inculcate this lesson into our minds so that we believe the right thing, and we have hope in your second coming, when you raise all the dead, the righteous dead, and take us up yonder, where there will be no more deaths and pain and sorrow. Thank you for your aid and answered our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Pastor. Have yourself a blessed day further.
Thank you so much. Good day.
Mfundisi, taking us through there, Pastor Chitura. I don't know, what's your take? Is that your understanding? Is that your belief? Have you learned something? Would you change your ways? The Bible says the dead know nothing. They are sleeping in their graves. They're not in some private location. They're not in heaven enjoying, I don't know what they have, heaven shakes or whatever it is, or in hell being roasted in a fire with a pitchfork. No. Today, as we speak today in 2023, everyone is in the grave. What's your take? I want to hear your thoughts. Talk to us, +27734703520.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.